To encourage you, I said a few things. One is very encouraging that over the last couple of years, the Lord really has started in the Messianic body in Israel to more and more to give unity, to force unity among the different leaders in the Messianic body. There is a cooperation between different congregations. In the beginning, I told you that we have now in Jerusalem itself since at least 12 years or 13 years, we as leaders meet every month to pray together for 2 or 3 hours a morning. And once a year, we have a retreat together as leaders, which is a tremendous blessing. And the goal is really that the Lord binds our hearts together and give us his vision for the city. And not only that, but also in nationally, I think God did a tremendous job, not only to, when we started that, I think it was really a challenge when the Lord said we should call the leadership nationally to spend 3 days in the desert with him and doing nothing else than to pray for each other, to listen to him. No talks about ministry, nothing else, only really to sit at his feet. He gave us at that time the picture of Mary who was sitting at Yeshua's feet, and where the Lord says that's what he was looking for. And he said, if you as leaders would set apart this time for me, I'm going to meet you. And with leaders who have all a busy schedule, that's a challenge, just to set 3 days apart and doing nothing else than praying and listening to each other and listening to the Lord. And I remember the first time we did it, the Lord was so gracious. He met us so strongly. Part of this time is that we send every leader from the morning, early morning at 6 to noon, alone into the desert, literally into the desert with nothing else than water and the Word of God. And I can tell you that's even for leaders, that's a challenge. 6 hours alone in the desert without no cell phone, without no computer, and not working on your messages, but listening. Just listen to the Lord. But the Lord used it really to reveal himself to many, many of the leaders. And when we came together after such a morning, it's unbelievable what the Lord actually has given to the different leaders. Really fresh water in the desert. The first time it was so strong that the leadership wanted to meet 3 times a year in the desert. Maybe we didn't have enough faith as organizing committee, so we said, okay, let's meet at least 2x a year. And since then, we meet 2x a year. In the fall and in the spring. The next one will be in May, from the 12th to the 13th of May in the desert. It will be hot. Nevertheless, we have seen that the Lord really over the years has developed a lot among us, really sharing in each other's pain and struggle and challenge, and a lot of reconciliation, took place among leaders, and a common vision started to grow for for the body, for what God's heart is for Israel, and also for the church. And I told you that after the Lord gave us grace, 4 or 5 years, he then challenged us to invite the Arab brothers, which was a big step, but we knew there's no way not to do that, and we did it. I don't want to go into the details of the challenge, but what I can say is the Lord actually really, what he released among us, it's tremendous in blessing, but also we were ashamed really to discover each other's heart and to see how long it took us really to get together. And the Lord made it clear that unity, not only within the Messianic body, but also with our Arab brothers and sisters in the body of Christ, that this unity and reconciliation is key, as much for Israel, but also for the church. And since then, we meet together, Jewish and Arab leaders, twice a year in the desert. We call it sitting at the feet of Jesus. And something is growing. This is not taking it into the news, but God does something, is preparing something in the body for Israel, but also, I think, for the church and for the world in this unity which is growing. And again, as I said in the beginning, Friday evening, we can see the fruit today when there are tensions, like the war in Gaza, that what God has built among us, it is really solid. Brothers on both sides were calling each other, praying for each other, supporting each other, and even calling in their newsletter for support for each other. And I think there's, at least in Israel, not a stronger sign of the presence of God than this unity and this standing together. And it is a witness on both sides. It's a witness. And we dream about the day where we're going to have one day a big, big rally of Messianic Jews and Arab believers in Jerusalem, declaring together that the only hope is Yeshua for both sides. Pray for that. Pray for that, that God will lead us and give us the courage one day to do that. But it's already taking place on different places. For instance, in the Galil, in the north, there is every year a gathering of Jewish and Arab congregations coming together and worshiping together. It's already happening, or in Jerusalem, there are Arab congregations who invite Messianic leaders to come to preach in their congregation, and we have Arab leaders who come and preach in our congregation. For instance, something beautiful happened last summer. We had at the congregation Shem Sasson in Jerusalem, we invited a former Fatah fighter who came to the Lord years ago and who is committed with all his heart not only to preach the gospel to the Muslims, to his people, but also to stand with Israel, and he's bold about that. And so he came to give his testimony in our congregation, and we invited some of the Muslim converts into the congregation. So there was a Messianic congregation with all these Arab brothers in, and here we had Palestinian. He was, at a time, he was even the guard, one of the bodyguard of Arafat, and standing there and giving his testimony how Yeshua changed his heart and how he has a love and understanding for Israel and for God's plan with Israel. It was tremendous, and also in front of all these Arab, these Muslim converts, and we had also some Arab Christian with us. And I think there's no a stronger testimony for the Jewish people, but also for the Arabs, than to hear that Yeshua is able to change hearts and to give love on both sides. And then at the end, we were able to pray for all these Arab brothers, and they were so deeply touched to have Messianic leaders praying for them and receiving them into the family. So things like that are happening. And something we started actually in Shemen Sasson, it's an idea of our young elder, who is a lawyer, works as a lawyer, and is an elder with his dad and with me. And the Lord spoke to him one day and said, listen, I want you to go and to clean the streets of Jerusalem. When you're going to clean the streets of Jerusalem, I'm going to touch the hearts of the people. So we started to do that. And then one day the challenge came and he said, do you think we can do that in Arab neighborhoods? Can your community help us to do that? Because in our community we have people, by the way, Swiss people who speak very good Arabic, much better than I do. and so they said, yes, we can do that. So they organized, to organize that, they have to go to such an area. They spoke with the elders and said, you know, tomorrow we're going to have a group coming and clean here the streets and collect the garbage. And, you know, part of them, or most of them, are Jews who believe in Yeshua as the Messiah, and where the Muslims were very reluctant. They didn't trust this thing, so our people, so the congregation or the community, they went there, they started to clean the streets, and a lot of people were looking and didn't know how to relate to that. And then an old man came and said, and Muslim, he said, you know, I have collected the garbage and the dirt of the Jews for 50 years. I never would have dreamed to see a Jew do that for me. And this man, he was so touched that he, the next time where we did it again in the same area, he actually turned around and said to the children and to the young people, you better learn from these Jews what dignity is. And since then, the children started also to help. And from then on, we developed actually ministry in different Arab quarters in Jerusalem as a congregation and community, where we did not only start to clean the streets, but to give out clothes to these Muslims, and also to hand out with the clothes Jesus DVDs and New Testament. And last December, from one of these areas where we three times actually were collecting garbage, about 60 Muslims came from this area to our Christmas party, because they have smelled something. Now, just to have a look how this looks, we're going to see a DVD. Unfortunately, again, is spoken, I think, in German. I didn't collect the right one, but you see at least the pictures. Before we're going to see another one, just one, two words. You know, as we were praying about how to reach really the Muslims in Jerusalem, also as a Messianic community, and the Lord said there is a way which is very difficult, first of all, but the only way with Muslims actually are hopeless, helpless to react, and that's very simple, humility. How can they relate to people who come and pick up the garbage, something they never would do, even not for each other, for themselves? But in the same time, we have just experienced the Word of God, which says in Peter that God gives grace to the humble. It's really true. But I can tell you, it's not so easy. It's every time a tremendous challenge. Because even for Jewish believer to expose themselves into an Arab neighborhood, normally if you walk into an Arab neighborhood or if you walk into the territories, you are always armed. You never go without a guide with a gun. But we had no guns, nothing. And they saw that. And I really believe God has started something here. By the way, it was so strong that those who were first of all caused to be jealous were our Arab Christian friends. They couldn't believe that Messianic believers are doing that to the Arabs. And so 2 months ago, two or three Arab leaders joined us just to experience how this whole thing go, in order maybe to encourage their own congregation to join in. Can you believe that when Jewish believer and Arab believer together go to clean the streets and to give and to witness Yeshua? That's something we are working on, that the Lord is going to release that. Because it is, in the eyes of many Israelis, absolutely crazy. On the other hand, they cannot help. Because that's something they are not anyhow prepared for, to see that. Because it is the testimony that really Yeshua sets us free from fear. But again, I say we are not fully through. We did it several times, but it's always a challenge. Pray for us that this is going to continue. And Congregation Shem Sasson started us to open up, and our vision actually is one day that God is going to integrate Muslim converts into the congregation, that he's going to bring Arab believers to be part of the congregation as an expression of the one new man, as an expression of the unity which glorify the name of Yeshua. So keep this congregation, please, also in your prayers. And whenever you are in Jerusalem, you are invited to sit into the service. It's English-Hebrew. No, it's Hebrew-English. And here maybe I really can say, pray also that God will provide everything this congregation needs, because it is a challenge to want to be open for the one you man. It's not always easy, but again, that's maybe enough for this. Whoever wants to get also from congregation the address in order to be in touch, I can leave it with Ken. Okay? Good. So I also want to show you some picture. I told you about the Arab, about the Muslim Christmas party. We're going to see also some pictures just for you to keep that in mind and to pray for what God is doing in the Old City, in Jerusalem, in East Jerusalem. So just to encourage you what God is doing in Jerusalem. And again, that's something which we very much try to develop, to encourage that Messianic Jews and Arab Christians together can really witness Yeshua to Muslim, but also into the Jewish people. So I think we have heard and seen enough. We have to stop here. And may the Lord really remind you to pray for us here from the center of the universe. But I can tell you, when you're going to come to Jerusalem, you will change your mind concerning that. So thank you. When we're going to share together the Lord's Supper, I would like to remind us only of one thing. I know that there are a lot of different understandings, and I don't want to go into that. But something, it's key, and Paul speaks about that in 1 Corinthians 11. We are all aware of that, where he speaks about discerning the Lord's body and how we shall come before the Lord to receive the Lord's body. And he even says, because we don't discern the Lord's body, there are so many division among us. Sickness and other things. And that's why he says, when we come before the Lord to take the Lord's body, let's examine our heart. Friends, first of all, it's so important to know that when we stand at the table of the Lord, it's a mystery. It's a mystery of faith. I know that there are many different understandings, but still, it remains. It's a mystery when the Lord himself says to us, drink my body and drink my blood and eat my body. And it's such a mystery of faith that the Jewish people who understood what he was talking about in John 6, when he said, who will not drink my blood and who will not eat my body, he he said he will not have everlasting life. And they were so offended by that 70 left him of the disciples. It says they were so outraged about what he said. And you know why? Because when he said, if he does not drink my blood, in Jewish understanding, friends, they knew what he was talking about. He made clear, I am the source of life. Why are the Jews forbidden to drink blood? Not only the Jews, actually even. That's what at least James says. You are free from everything except drinking blood. Why? Because the blood is the symbol for life. And you shall have no other sources than Yeshua, where you draw your life, your strength, your confidence. That's the only blood we can drink, the only life we can take. Drinking his blood, it means to express with all my being that he's the only source I live from. And again, it's a mystery of faith, and it always happens to us according to our faith. People tell me, Marcel, do you really believe after we have prayed over bread and wine that this is going to change to be blood? Then I say that's not my question. Because if we approach it from a logical point of view, we'll go nowhere. But if the Lord says, do it in remembrance of me, when he said, that's my body, when you do that, I will be not only in your midst, but I will become the source again and again of your life, then it's something deeper than our understanding, deeper than our emotion. I personally believe that the Lord restores our strength, our faith in body, soul, and spirit when we take the Lord's Supper, if I allow him, if I believe that. Because it's always about receiving him again and again with all my being. If I honor him in that and say, Lord, if you have said that, I take it without wanting to define it, to explain it. You know, that's what the Lord means about becoming children. Children, when you give them something, when you say something, they don't start to question. They just take it, because at least my children did that until they started to grow up and the mind started to work and faith had to be regained again. But the Lord wants us to be in such a position where he says, like the children, don't try to understand the mystery. Believe me that I want to be fully yours. I want to be this source who is going to renew your faith, your strength, your peace, your joy. And something else is, as we partake in the body of the Lord, it reminds us always we also are called his body, friends. For me, it's always a time where I stand before the Lord, where I examine my heart, Lord, where did I build walls of division between me? Maybe members in the family, in the congregation, in the body of Christ. How can I partake in the body when I consciously build walls of division? That's what Paul said, if we do not discern the body of Christ, if we do not understand, it's all about him, and he wants us to be one family. He wants us to stand around him. That's why he has given us this mystery of unity, of becoming one family, and in the same time of, with all our heart, knowing he alone can restore us. So I don't want to go further into that, but invite you, when we come to share, let's take then a few moments to be silent, to stand before him, and at least as much as we right now see and understand, ask him to help us to tear down walls, to be willing really to reach out, to reconcile, to gather, not to disperse, to encourage, not first of all to question. Well, sometimes we have to question, but it has to come out of passion for him, not because we don't like, we don't understand. To be people, that's what we pray as a community, Lord, make us bread in your hand to bring life like you are. Make us a light in your hand to show people the way to your heart as you are. Help us to be heralds of your coming and of your kingdom as we are standing before you. And the Lord will, with joy, he will meet us deeper than our understanding and feeling, if we allow him, if we are willing to take this mystery of faith into our heart. And I invite you to do that.